This is September 28, 1986, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
So then, good morning.
Good morning.
Well then, again, good morning. As you can see, we are filling this place to capacity, and since we have no intention of moving, we are going to have to find a way of losing part of you. So this morning's sharing will be along the lines of how many can we lose in one morning. And I say this because I'm going to bring forward something that many of you are not going to believe at all. And if you do not believe it, then I would ask you to not bother to come for the next few meetings, because it will be simply an elaboration on the same theme and it would be a waste of your good time. I do not ask you to believe it. I simply ask you to entertain the probability of what I would like to share with you. Many of you, as I have stated before, are knights and ladies in search of a grail, and you have forgotten what the grail is all about. Or you have achieved your vision of the grail, and have not created yet another remembrance to take you on the next journey that the soul needs you to go on. I would like for you, please, to envision that it would be helpful if you knew exactly what it is that happens to your physical body when energy moves into it. And if you could then incorporate this new idea, or this re-enlivened idea, because you all already know, into how you can use it to live your life with power. It is very clear to me that the basic issue before you is, how do you feel safe in an unsafe world? And you say to me, why do I need to feel safe? And I will tell you something. Until you feel safe in some way, your cells will not relax. And until your cells relax, you will not allow enlightenment to pour forth out of you. I have told you, until you all are screaming, that this which you seek, this enlightenment, this state of light consciousness, is already with you. That you do not have to somehow generate it. You do not have to create ladders to heaven. Aren't you glad? What would you make them out of? Ladders to heaven in order to find what you're seeking. I have told you with repetitious nausea that it is all here, and as much here in this moment, in this place, in this time, as it ever will be. There is no more God any other place, my friends. You will never go anywhere else and find more God. It is right here, right now, in you. So then you could say, well, that's all well and good. I don't feel it. What possible good is it to me if I do not feel this God? And you can talk until you are blue, if that's possible, for a windy spook to become blue. But nevertheless, you must find a way to relax yourselves so that they can give up the treasure that lies within them. You know, if you've thought about it at all, that you come from a water-based planet. This planet contains at least 70%, I'm not very good on percentage, I think that's accurate, water. It is also true that your physical body contains approximately 70% water. You are a water-based consciousness. What this means in practical terms for your journey is that that which you seek finds its most comfortable grounding place in the substance that you call water. Thus, the Sea of Galilee contains the essence of the Christ. Now, if it be true that within the cells there is this water. And if it be true that for eons of time the divine power has been sending in ever-increasing waves, that which you seek to make your life clearer, truer, and more of what you want, then we come to the startling understanding that it's within the cells themselves that this incredible force field lodges itself. Which it does. You see, it is one thing to say that you are porous, and it is true that in a sense you are. But on the other hand, you are also receptacles. Just as you know all of life to be a receiver and an accumulator, so you know and must come to understand that the very cells of you are accumulators. And they are accumulating that which you need, that which you want, that which is absolutely essential to your well-being. Now, many of you have tried to have a guru, a master, a teacher. And you sat diligently in front of this personage for who knows how long. And finally you said, well, it didn't work. I had some moments, some flashes, but it didn't work. And you get up and you leave. Why? Because most of you selected gurus who had within them judgment. And I will tell you that if you are sitting in front of a personage who considers you less than them, you know this. Your whole cellular structure tells you, this is a person who finds me less. And therefore, I am not safe. And if I am not safe, I am not going to open up my cells, my beingness, because I am afraid. I am afraid of ridicule. I am afraid of judgment. I am afraid in some way of being found to be less. And I am not safe, and I will not open up my being. At the same time, you go to a lake in the midst of a mountain all by yourself, collapse after a long, long journey up, and all of a sudden you find yourself transfixed. You are no longer the same. You are now in a state of expansion. You are filling the sky. You know there is a God. You know it. And what is the difference? You feel safe. Your energy goes out and embraces your environment. And as far as you can scan, you feel, I am accepted. I am a part of this moment. And I can be and express and show who I am. There is no fear here. So I can become that which I really am. And in those moments, the cells relax. And out of that wonder arises what you call enlightenment. The cells give up their essence of light. And it's not just a mental process. If you have it happen to you, you realize your entire body is participating, is it not? It isn't just your mind. It isn't just your heart. It's all the way from your toes all the way up. Every part of you is now alive in a way that it was never alive before. And you fill yourself with this feeling and you think, thank God, there is a God. And it lives in me. It is here. It is mine. It is me. And then you know. So if this be the truth, if that which you seek can only be found in places that are safe, then what do you do with your life? Because if you have looked around and are aware at all, you have come to the starting realization that the world does not appear safe, does it? And I will tell you who you're most afraid of. It is a very simple thing to find out what you're afraid of. Just simply visualize yourself all alone on a dark, empty mesa, all alone. And what is it that comes out of the dark? Is it the animals that you fear? No. Is it each other? Yes. You are afraid of each other. You are afraid of each other because for centuries you have done a good job of making each other afraid. Do you then have to find a paradise where no one will hurt you in order to find God? Now, you do know that this is the organized idea, that you are hopelessly messed up, that this is an entirely unworkable situation for God understanding, so we have to leave here when you die and rise up, and if you're very lucky, you will go to heaven, and in heaven, you know nobody's going to hurt you. But if you go to that other strange place in between, or even worse, that place down below, then you're in real trouble. Now, this isn't even true. These are ideas spawned in the minds of man. And it's up to you to believe it or not. I don't care. My only desire today is to alert you to the way to be safe in an unsafe world. Most of you, my beautiful friends, have been trying to make your world safe. Have you noticed? You were trying to make your world safe. But since you are also intelligent, you have found out that it hasn't worked. So now you're in a quandary. You know that you need safety for your inner harmony, and you do not know where to go and how to reach it. So many of you, of course, try the renunciate way. The only problem with that is you starve to death. And that is not a very exciting way, you know, just to be slowly but surely starving to death, asking other people to take care of you. That brings up a feeling of, well, I'm not really participating in this program, am I? Other people are filling my life and I'm sitting here and something's amiss. So if renunciation is not the way, and it isn't for 99.9% of you, and I know all of you will put yourself in that other 1%, and that's all right. If you have renunciation in your life, you cannot escape it. You cannot, whether it means a hospital ward, whether it means in your home alone, whether it means in a cave, I don't care what it is. If renunciation is your way, it will find you. So don't worry about it. It will happen. But if you have not yet found it in your life, then please take it from me. It's not yet your way. So the problem still remains. How do you feel safe in an unsafe world? We have to go back to the basics. The cells have two choices only. They can expand and they can contract. They cannot do anything else. If they are in a state of expansion, then you also find yourself to be in a state of expansion. And no matter what is going on in front of you, you feel expanded into it. Do you understand? It doesn't have to be, you know, a wondrous movie or a wondrous play or a wondrous life. If you are expanded and extended into your life, you feel alive. Life is present. You feel the verve and the wonder and the delight. And people say, what do you find so good about your life? And you say, well, I don't know. It just feels good. Well, it doesn't look very good to me, says they. And you say, well, I can't tell you about that. From the inside, it feels good. This just feels good. Now, we have a lot of other people whose life looks good. And on asking, they say, this doesn't feel good, but it looks so good that I'm going to stay in it anyway, and I don't care how it feels because it just looks so good. Many of you have withdrawn your energy from the world. You have withdrawn your energy from the world. Even if you are in it, you are not in it. Even though you go through the ritual every day of your life of being present in front of others, of doing this and doing that, although all of that is present, your energy is not in it. You are not alive to it. You are not participating in that life. And you do not feel enlivened. And you say, I've got the wrong job. So you go to another job. And lo and behold, after the first day that someone says to you, you didn't do that right, you schnook. Back you go and you say, I took the wrong job. It's very clear I need another job. So either you tolerate it, feeling very much the martyr every day, or you go on to another occupation. The truth is, it has absolutely nothing, 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 nothing to do with what's going on out there. Those of you who have been severely hurt, you have chosen to withdraw your energy into you. Take it out of the world, put it inside. That says, I feel safe in here. I don't want to go out there. If I go out there, I'm going to be in trouble. So you retract, it goes inside. The difficulty with that is it doesn't feel good. In the literal sense that when your heart is not open, it aches. May I just say that again? If your heart is not open, it aches. If you have an aching heart, it is not because somebody hurt you. It is because your heart is aching because out of your fear, you have turned in on yourself and your cells are now contracted inside of you, deeply pushing against you and producing physical pain. An aching heart is a physical phenomenon. It is not a psychic one. It is physical. Do you all understand? You feel your aching heart. It isn't in your mind. It isn't in your left toe. Somebody says, are you aching? You don't say, yes, I'm aching, and point to your left toe when your heart is aching. It is an absolute pressure on the physical body itself, and it is felt as a breaking heart. So what then? I repeat, many of you withdraw. You go to the higher realms. You say, oh, now I'm going to talk to God, or now I'm going to talk to St. Michael, or I'm going to talk to somebody up there, because they're never going to tell me I'm a schmuck. They're just going to tell me that I'm wonderful, that I'm full of light, that I am God incarnate. But you know what? If you really are in touch with St. Michael, that isn't all he's going to tell you. If you're really in touch with a higher power, the first most important thing it will say to you is, sweetheart, we have a problem. And out of this acknowledgement that there is a problem, when they say we, comes the relaxation. Because if they say we have a problem, you know instantly that you are not alone. This consciousness will never say you have a problem. It will say we have a problem. None of you who have come to me have heard me say you have a problem. Because it is my absolute commitment, in whatever way that I can, to walk with you to the solution of our problem. There is only one, my friends, only one. There are not separated beings. There is no separated consciousness. There's only one. One. So it is my great delight to walk with you to the solution of our problem. But what can you do on your own, in your life? We're going to go into this in greater depth as we go through the next few months, because it is a very vast, vast area of consciousness. I would like to lay the groundwork today in ways that many of you are not going to understand, and this is when I'm going to lose some of you and loosen up some of these seats. Come on. And it is this. One way of talking about the New Age is that it is time to create new building blocks of consciousness. I would like to repeat that. Another way of talking about the New Age is that it is time to build new building blocks of consciousness, out of which we can build pyramids that make the Great Pyramid seem to be a very small, delightful, younger brother. All right? And if I were to say anything about all of these windy ones that are coming through from the other side now, myself included, we have to have a little humor about this, please. You know, there's a lot of wind blowing across this planet. Many, many people are channeling all kinds of things, some right out of their toes and some from God. I mean, it's coming from everywhere. Believe me, your responsibility, especially in this room, is to make your own assessment out of your own consciousness. You are responsible for that. But there's a lot going on, blowing, some of it incredibly important. And the ones that come from those areas whose job it is to begin to really create a basis for the so-called New Age will tell you the same thing. We are building a new building block of consciousness upon which an amazing new creation can arise. We are not going to be able to build it on the old, because the old does not reflect truth. It is our hope that the new will. And so today, I would ask those of you who care at all about helping to think and feel with me as I discuss building block of consciousness. What is it and how do you do it? It is an energy field that moves through your physical body and comes out the other side, so to speak, with some brand new information added to it. I have told many of you that it would be very helpful if every morning you would simply sit quietly and begin to write, not from your mind, but from your being, so that some of this new information for the building blocks of consciousness can be brought in. If you care one whit about your collective mankind, I ask you to be serious. Every morning, seated quietly, just to begin to write, so that the building block material can start to come through. It has always been thus. In the old days, we called it the creation of the mysteries. It is still the same. A mystery school is a mystery school because it has new information, nothing old, all new. And it is through these kinds of consciousness, I mean, it's a beautiful day out there. You could have done so many things, but here you are. So it's out of people like this that the new building blocks of consciousness are going to begin their movement. All you have to do is to be willing to be the receiver. Just sit with it. Allow it. It will begin to happen. The most important message I will give you today is you have got to give C-E-L-L-S. I did not speak English, you see. This is a new language to me. C-E-L-L-S. Give yourselves a new message. A new message. They have been given the message that all around them, out of the darkness, will come any number of things to hurt it. And in the past, yourselves have had the job of paying attention outwardly to all kinds of psychic and physical movement in order to keep you safe. That is an old message, and it came out of the early days, and it is no longer appropriate. Your most wondrous and good friend, the Christos, tried to tell you this when he said, the law is love. Believe in the law of love, and you will be well. Believe in love and all will be well. And so now again comes the repetition. The cells have got to hear a new message. In hearing a new message, they will take on the responsibility they will take on the responsibility of extending out into an area where they do not need to be afraid. You cannot extend yourself. They can extend themselves. And they will do so if you give them a different message. I will tell you, you know when your cells are afraid. And if you're paying attention, it's most of the time, except when you're in your very isolated and protected environment. Those of you who have intimate relationships, don't mislead yourself. That is probably the source of your greatest fear, because it is the source of your greatest caring. You have the most to lose if the intimate one turns on you. It can deal you the greatest blow, the one that you feel to be deadly. So as brother and sister, you have one responsibility: to do your absolute utmost to create an environment where your brothers and sisters will feel safe. That is your only responsibility: to create an environment where your brothers and sisters will feel safe. And if they feel safe, they will relax. And if they relax, they will begin to feel the presence of the God within. Do you see how clear that is? Why do you think in churches people experience God? That has been the one absolute place of safety. It is where people go to stay away from the law, to stay away from all kinds of things. It doesn't matter what's coming from the pulpit. In truth, excuse me, I don't mean to be irreverent, but it doesn't really matter in the sense that there are many different things coming from the pulpit, but the people feel safe because it is a safety zone. You have very wisely created safety zones. Now, those of you who meditate every day or occasionally create a safety zone. That is a safety zone. The meditation time, the meditation place, which is why we keep saying, do it in the same place. So that the minute that you sit down, your cells say, I'm safe here. I know I am. I can relax and I can allow it to open. I can allow the light to come out and to fill me so I will know, because I am safe. Here I am safe. You feel safe in your sleep state, many of you, in your deep sleep safe. You're very, very safe. And you allow yourselves to relax and in so doing fly to amazing places of wonder and strength and remembrance. My objection to sleeping pills is that you don't feel safe when you've taken a pill to fall asleep, because it has not been a natural letting go in the body, and the body immediately says, there's nobody paying attention here, I'm going to have to stay. And so it stays close. So please think about that. How do you dare to extend into an environment that you know could harm you? This is where the warrior either exists in you or does not. I can say that with ease because I know it's in all of you. I wouldn't dream of bringing up something that you could not all perform should you choose to do it. This is the job, simply stated. Every moment that you remember, stop. Stop. Put your awareness within yourself and gently and sweetly simply say, extend out. You say to me, that's too simple. I say to you, try it. The message has got to come on a cellular level that you can let go and let it happen. If you do not do this on a consistent level, day after day, hour after hour, your cells are going to obey the unconscious directive, which is close down, pull in, and stay safe. Safety does not lie in closing down. You have been closed down for centuries, and you do not feel safe. Something has gone awry. And the thing that has gone awry is the belief that if you pull in, somehow you will be safe. I will tell you something. If you've got the warrior in you, practice the opposite. Start just simply expanding out. You will find 100 ways to do it every day. To simply expand out. Just try it. In the midst of something that looks frightening, just expand it out. Start your breath. You know, when you're, look at this body, please. This is how you are most of the time. There's not a lot of heart in this position with your shoulders stooped. But when you start extending, what happens is that the whole heart area, the chest area, starts to expand, doesn't it? Completely different sense. And when you get it out like this, then you have what you're looking for, which is the heart is out there. Your love is never going to hurt you. Please understand, if love is the way, how can you possibly think that giving love under any circumstance whatsoever could possibly hurt you? How can you think that? It is the love going out that keeps you safe. It is the love that goes out that hits the other person who says, oops, that's not what I expected. Maybe I better rethink this next statement. Maybe I won't say it. Maybe I won't do it. Maybe I'll just be quiet. When you choose extension and your love gets out there, your environment will change. Energy is the law. If you manifest extended energy, it will go out into your environment and it will change the vibrational frequency of your home, of your office, of your car, I don't care what it is. You have only one responsibility, extension. You find, instead of it being fear, the extension is so blissful on its own that you'll start extending to wonderful things like your favorite plant, your favorite rock, your favorite crystal, your favorite whatever. Do you understand? It will just start to be something that you do because it feels good. You are not going to do something on a consistently conscious level that feels bad. The reason that you have been contracting is because you haven't been conscious of your contraction. Test me out. When you leave this place, if you get yourself in a wonderful traffic jam, what are you doing? Are you extending or are you contracting? Start paying attention. When your husband or wife walks in and says, dear, I have something to tell you, are you expanding or are you contracting? When your child hasn't come home and it's 3 a.m, are you expanding or are you contracting? Do you understand? I'm asking you to begin to test this theory. And if it doesn't work for you, then never, this is where we're going to see what happens with all these seats. If you start trying it on an everyday, ongoing, moment to moment, hour by hour basis, test me out. Test me out. Are you out there expanded and happy and filled? Or are you somehow waiting for something outside of yourself to come in and fill you and expand you? Please hear this. Most of you are waiting for either another human being, God help you, or some manifestation of God to rush in and fill you. And I'm going to tell you something. It's an inside job, my friends. Finding God is an inside job, and it's not going to come from the outside, and aren't you glad? Because if it has to come from the outside, you are stuck. You have to sit and wait millennia until somebody remembers. Oh, there's Phyllis. I forgot about Phyllis. I'm going to have to go and get Phyllis. Oh, but there's Janet. Oh, well, they're on the same trailer. That'll be easy. We'll do it that way. You see, this kind of idea, you know, that you're waiting for God to come is killing you. It's killing you. By that I mean you're going to die without knowing. And that's no fun at all. It's a very simple process. You simply decide deeply within yourself, in spite of whatever it looks like outside, I am choosing again. And this time, I am choosing expansion. Your cells will start to let go. Why does Sweat Lodge work? Where is Miss Crawford? Miss Crawford? Sandy? I'm grateful to you. Why does it work? Why? Because it provides an environment that says we're safe. We're safe. You know, the wonderful reason that the Indian way works is nobody has defined the grandfather. Nobody has said, all right, this grandfather is going to give you money and health and, you know, nothing. They just say the grandfathers are here and everybody goes good. Because most of you have some kind of good idea about your grandfather. And so good. The theory of grandfather. But if you say the father is here, that's a very different feeling, isn't it? And how about this one? Your mother is here. So out of this wonderful alignment with the grandfathers, the space is now safe. It's safe. And in its safety, you can relax yourselves and be who you are. No sweat lodge, no meditation, no teaching, no prayer. Nothing will work unless the people in it feel safe. My only intention of these meetings, as well as any work I do in workshop situations, is to provide an environment where, God willing, you will feel safe. And whatever prattle comes out of the mouth, comes out. The environment is what matters. It is the environment that gives you the sense of feeling safe. And in that moment, you choose to relax and allow. And in that moment, you know that you are filled with light. You see it in your mind. You feel it in your heart. Your body begins to sing in a way that it never sung before. And you know. If you are serious about this, please go home, and between now and the next time we meet, do your best, please, to pay such attention to your environment that you become responsible for those places where you are creating one where others feel. Do not pay attention to the other people, which is the first trap. You are creating an unsafe environment for me. Please don't do that. It is out of your willingness to examine with care your environment that will allow you to expand into it and those that you live with to do the same. Your home is a very special place, because it is where you spend a lot of your time. If you do not feel safe in it, you will not go to higher realms of consciousness. Now, some of you have lived in areas that were very dangerous to you. And there is no way that your cells are going to be fooled. You can say to them, I'm safe, and they're going to say, no, you're not, no, you're not, and they will not do your bidding. Why do the great ones say, light some candles,
burn some incense, collect some flowers, and then sit down and shut up? Why? Because in that environment, everything is saying you are safe. Now, we can experience. The more that you do this, moment by moment, through all of your life, taking the candles and the incense and the flowers along within you, and creating an environment of safety inside of you, you will begin to change everything about you. You will know if you're on the right path if you look younger at 50 than you did at 30. Because it happens. If you are more beautiful at 60 than you were when you were 25. Beauty has nothing to do with your body. It has everything to do with your light. And if you look at someone and find them beautiful, and there is no real reason why they should be, then you know that they are doing something very, very right. The last part of this harangue this morning will center around a very simple technique that most of you won't use, but I'm going to present it anyway. I repeat that you are a water-based consciousness, and you all know this. Those of you who are product of the 60s and remember the LSD, you know that it took you back the trajectory where you came out of the sea and moved to the land. And you took with you in your cells the water. It's still there. It is that part of you that is the collector. I love the New Age because of the collectors of the light. You collect your heat and you collect your light. I love it. It is the wondrous representation of what you are. You are collectors. You do not have to be in any place to be a collector. They can't miss you. There's no way that you can hide. So everyone is equally a collector. But if you would begin the simple understanding as many moments of your day as you can, that your cells are collecting that which you seek, liquid light, call it whatever you want. It appears that way psychically, liquid light, held in wondrous pools of amazing clarity and power. Amazing. And if you can, as many times a day as you remember, to just acknowledge that this is happening, that you're being filled, and at the same time, giving the cells the secondary message of you can relax. You can relax. This sounds very mundane, but I would like to ask you, you know, you have a great history in your countries of the great ones, and they come and tell you of the light. And almost all of them have come from men and women who have placed themselves in isolated pockets of the world and just sat around. And if you've looked at their past, they've done different things. Some of them, good heavens, have eaten meat. Some of them have lived on vegetables. Some of them have done very little. There are no rules except sitting around collecting. But the wonderful thing is that in that moment of collecting, somewhere in their process, somewhere magical, they understood that they were safe. They knew their environment so well. They had made friends with the animals to such an extent. There were no humans to come around. So there comes the moment of the knowing, I'm safe. Now this can happen anywhere. But your job as the warrior in this particular age is to do it wherever you are. To do it every moment wherever you are. And to begin a true search for the willingness to let go. The willingness to let go. You have attributed outside agents to your letting go. I see in the audience some of you who have taken certain drugs that have induced a let-go state. And you have said, ah, it's the drug. I say, no, no. The cells give up their light. It is you who say, I feel safe. Because as you well know, some drugs say to you, I am not safe. And nothing happens but confusion and darkness. Those of you who use meditation, it is nothing more than that moment of saying, I am safe and I will let go. It is your responsibility, my friends, to maximize those things that make you feel safe. Minimize the ones that don't. And if there are some that you cannot change, then it is your job to extend in them anyway. You will not die. Nothing is going to happen to you other than a feeling of being in love. In love. Every time you let go, in the most difficult of circumstances, what always comes forward is love. And when love moves out into your world, you are at that moment so much safer than you were the moment before. You choose to extend into your environment either love or fear. I have told you from the very beginning, first time we ever met some of you, I said, two choices. Is it love or is it fear? And the choice is yours. Extension brings love, wondrous feelings of love. Contraction adds to your fear. It's not complicated, my friends. All I really have to say in closing is this. The advantage of having incarnated at this time is that the frequency of the divine power moving across the plains of this earth has greatly increased. You cannot change it. You can expand and caress it, or you can contract and reject it. But you cannot change the fact that the new energy is here. And every time you choose extension, no matter what the circumstances, you will be filled. And you will know. And your heart will stop hurting. And you will say to yourself, God's in his heaven. All's right with my world. And mean it. I love you all. And I thank you very much for coming. We would like to have some moments of meditation. Those of you who are not inclined, if you would leave at this time, it would be a help.